The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I am joined this morning by Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota. Julie, good morning. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas and all that good stuff. Hard to believe it's December 7th. I don't know.
I know.
I'm having trouble accepting that. I'm not sure why.
It's gone so fast. You know, once Thanksgiving is over, then it's like, it's just like whoosh.
Yeah.
Right into the holidays.
And I'm looking at the landscape, of course, we just heard Al's forecast, and I'm looking at the current temp now. Officially, it's 35 on our way to around 48. I'm a little concerned, first of all, I mean, it makes driving a lot easier, but I'm concerned at this point about our lack of snow so far. What can actually do? I mean, if we have a cold winter and a not snowy winter, what can that do to our landscape exactly?
Yeah, so that snow is like a mulch over things to protect plants and also, most importantly, the roots of plants from really, really cold weather. So from freezing temperatures in the soil in particular. So when there's no covering over soil, it tends to have a much deeper frost down in the soil versus if you have mulch or if it's a planted area like a lawn area. Or if you're lucky enough, and we're lucky enough to get some snow, that makes some significant difference. That snow is full of air pockets, and all the air pockets are 32 degrees, and it's about 90 to 95% air. So it creates this really nice blanket, so to speak, over the soil, and that helps to moderate the soil temperatures and prevent that frost from going so deeply down and from the soil really freezing quickly. Now, I think the soil's starting to freeze. I don't know how far down, but I know that out at the foodscape at the Arboretum, we had a lot of trouble sticking some stakes into the ground this week. So I'm guessing we're probably getting down there now, but who knows, 45, 48 degrees?
Good yeah.
Week, you know, that's
41 tomorrow.
Yeah.
Now, it's going to be getting colder midweek again,
right.
You know, single digits overnight, just for a couple of days.
Yes.
But is there anything we can do? I mean, there probably isn't too much. I mean, you can't water anymore. The ground's frozen for the most part.
No, you wouldn't want to water now because that water would just sit on top of the soil and freeze. And even mulching at this point, if you've got a bag of mulch lying around, it's probably frozen. And so it may not do any good, but if you do have leaves, if you have bags of leaves, usually the leaves aren't going to be frozen at this point, but if you've been saving a couple bags, that makes a very good mulch as well. So if you are still a little bit behind in your lawn care and we're kind of surprised by those freezing temperatures that we had, you know, you could throw a bag of leaves over some of your plant roots as well.
Very good. If you want to ask any kind of a lawn or garden question, let's open up the phone lines and text line. Either way, if you want to call and chat with Julie or if you want to send a text, either way, here is one number, 1-800-451-4619226. Now, if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get busy so quickly. So don't wait. Any kind of a lawn or garden question, we'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. Texter says this, can I grow herbs indoors in the winter without special grow lights? If yes, are any ones better than others?
Good question. It is an excellent time to have plants growing indoors overall because we are missing the outdoor landscape that we have become accustomed to through the warmer temperatures. So it's great to have plants growing indoors, whether they're ornamental or herbs in this case. The issue with herbs is they really do need as much light as possible. So you want to put them in the sunniest window that you have, and preferably a southern window or maybe a southwest window. That would be great. And some of the herbs that you can grow indoors are things like basil. You can also grow oregano. You can grow lavender. You can grow rosemary. The one thing you want to watch is to look at those plants, and this is true of all your house plants, is to be examining them for pests, because that can be a real issue with house plants, is having mealybugs or fungus gnats or other insect pests on those plants. So be checking them, and then be sure not to overwater them. Herbs are actually pretty tough plants, and they don't require a lot of water necessarily, but feel the soil first. If it's dry, go ahead and water it. But if it's still damp, just leave it alone and wait till it dries out a little bit more. And that's a good rule of thumb for all your house plants.
You know, we get, you mentioned fungus gnats, and it seems like we always get texts or calls about that. Is there a preventative, or how do you get rid of them once you have them?
Well, one of the main things that we do as houseplant owners is we tend to offer a little bit too much TLC to our plants. We also like to kind of water on a schedule. And when you're outside in the summer, that's maybe a little bit easier to do. It's hot, things are drying out, you've got a lot of soil to absorb a lot of water. But when you're watering a houseplant, you have to remember that all of those roots are in one container. And so if that container sits perpetually wet, it can cause root rot. And root rot is what fungus gnat larvae feast on. So they're little teeny tiny larvae in that soil, and they will chew on that rotted root material, and then they emerge as adults. And that's what we see in our kitchens. We think it's fruit flies, maybe. They look a lot like them, but it actually is fungus gnats. And the way to get around that is, again, don't overwater your plants. Don't let them sit in water. And that's particularly important when they're in a beautiful container, when it's a pot in a pot. Make sure that there's not water sitting in the bottom of that pot that can keep those roots constantly wet. And it's that constant wet soil that rots those roots and then attracts those fungus gnats.
Thinking this time of the year, well, really any time of the year is a great time to check out the University of Minnesota website, extension.umn.edu. But I always think of you know, reading a good novel or reading a good book this time of year. But what a great resource. If people have not checked that out yet, you guys put a ton of work in that. But what are some of the things you can find on there?
Well, right now you can find, it's from last month, but we are working on the December checklist. We are calling it the Yard and Garden Checklist. And John and Laura and I and some of our educators from around the state are adding information that's timely that you can take a look at. So, for example, in November, the first thing we had was remove buckthorn from your landscape. It's a great time to do that. The buckthorn is green. You can see it really easily. The other thing we were advising is protecting plants from animal browsing by installing fencing. You can still do that if you can get that fencing into the ground, but that's something that we were recommending in November. So we're working right now in December, which of course has a lot to do with houseplants and also thinking about plants for next season as well. So watch for that. It's coming up. It's in our Yard and Garden news. And then we also have a lot of great information, just general information about any kind of gardening, all kinds of plants, things to look out for, things to try, and really encourage people to take a look at that website.
Yeah.
It's a ton of information.
really is. Extension.umn.edu. Before we break, let's grab a phone call. Julie, Artie's calling in from, I believe, Forest Lake this morning. Artie, thank you. What is your question for Julie?
No, I'm calling for Woodbury.
Okay.
Oh, Woodbury. Okay.
Something got lost in the translation.
My Christmas cactus was outside all summer. Nice big cactus. I've had it for a few years. When I went to take it in, it was like somebody sliced across it. And some animal got to it. I wonder if it can be saved.
So you broke up there for a minute. What happened when you said there was a slice in it?
Some animal just sliced across it.
Sliced across it?
Yeah, just like it took
it,
a knife.
Cut it off, cut off the branches?
Yeah, all the way down, just, a few inches, but it's bigger now. And I'm wondering if it can be saved.
Yeah, so one of the nice things about Christmas cacti is that they are pretty easy to propagate. So you can take cuttings from it, and you can get a little bit of what's called rooting hormone. You can purchase it at a garden center. It's a powder. And you take a little end of that. You snap off the little sections of the branches, dip it in water, and then dip that end in that rooting hormone and put it into a pot of vermiculite or perlite or some other lightweight potting soil. And it will root pretty quickly. So you can propagate your own plant. If there's any way, if you've got issues with broken stems, which it sounds like you are, I don't know why it would have happened. The only thing I can think of is something that happened to my Christmas cactus is I let it get too dry outside. I kind of forgot about it. And it actually collapsed and the branches were so heavy that they broke. They literally snapped off. So I took those branches and I broke them into sections of two or three of segments. And then I'm propagating those too. So even though educator screws up periodically, but I don't know what animal would have been in there eating across it. Maybe a squirrel ran across it and snapped it off or something like that.
Well, I'm looking at a text. I know we have to break here quickly, but the Christmas cactus person was the rabbits, because texter says, I had the same thing happen to me. I had it on my deck and I saw the rabbits eating it and enjoying it.
Well, isn't that something?
About that. Hang on, Julie. We'll take a break and be right back with more of our Smart Garden Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Julie Weisenhorn is with us. I've lost my train of thought. We are in the midst of our Lawn and Garden Show. We call it a Smart Garden. And we're here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M is answering those questions. 651-461-9226. Let's hear your Lawn and Garden question either by phone or by text. And again, every week, always, Julie, as you know, I love the Arboretum. And there's so many things going
on
there. And we always want to ask you guys, you and your colleagues, what is happening this time of year?
Well, there's a ton of things to see at the Arboretum. The poinsettia tree is the best ever, I believe. It's right in the Great Hall. But also, we have winter lights happening, which is an absolutely amazing display of lights all around the Arboretum, around the immediate areas of the buildings. You can walk it. It is going on through the evenings until January 5th. You do need tickets for it, so be sure to get online and get those tickets. We also have a winter music series, and we are not playing for it, our band, but it's got a lot. We have a lot of other terrific musicians and groups who are playing. And then today and tomorrow, let's see, today is the 7th. So today is the Minnesota Herb Society Winter Sale. So that is in the Snyder Building. And you can go ahead and find just terrific things that are made, herb wreaths and everything herbs. Speaking of the person who called in about growing herbs. But go visit that. And that is on today. And then certainly we have things like date nights at Winter Lights. That's cool. And I want to just call out and give a shout out to the ProHort Horticulture course. So if you have been feeling like you need some really intensive really comprehensive horticulture education and you're not sure where to find that, the ProHort horticulture course is a great opportunity for that. It's an online do-it-your-own pace course, has 14 modules. They cover a huge variety of horticultural topics, help to help you kind of transform your gardens, maybe get a fresh start on your garden in the spring. You can register by December 10th to receive the printed core course companion guide, which is a tome of information that accompanies the class. And it's a great gift for somebody for the holidays, if you have a gardener in your life, or for yourself, maybe request it. But it is a terrific way to get just total comprehensive information. It's actually the core course content that our Master Gardener volunteers take, but it doesn't have the volunteer obligation. So it's just for your own purpose. Or if you're a professional in the industry, this is a great way to get continuing education. So really take a look at that. There's a link to it right on the arb.umn.edu webpage, the homepage of the Arboretum.
Excellent. Pay a visit. You'll be back for more.
Yeah, and take a look at that class.
Excellent. Thanks, Julie. Right now, let's grab a phone call here on the show. Bill checking in from Blaine, I believe, this morning. Thanks for waiting, Bill. What is your question for Julie?
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call. I have four arborvitae bushes in front of my kitchen window, and beautiful, but they're growing and growing, and I've trimmed them from time to time, and they get a little brown on top, but I water them, and they come really nicely. Unfortunately, this year, I trimmed about 6 or 7 or 8 inches off the top, and now it's all completely, when you look at them from the front, they still look beautiful, but when you look down at them from it's just all brown and showing all the branches, and it looks horrible from the top anyway. Is that something that you think will come back, or am I stuck with my mistake there?
Well, I think arborvitae are just gorgeous plants. They're really an important plant in our landscape here in Minnesota. They give us year-round interest, and they are really easy to care for. I think that the pruning may have been the timing of your pruning. You may have pruned it during a really dry condition. You know, we had that fall drought, September through October. We had incredible heat at that point, and that could be really hard on plants. So I'm going to say that they will recuperate in the next year. The important thing is to pay attention to them. Make sure that they're watered well, mulch their root area. And when you do prune, do what's called a loose shear. A loose shear is where you're basically knocking off or you're taking off just the newest growth. And it's just a way to kind of shape the plant. You don't want to prune too tightly because it tends to produce more growth at those cut points. And that can shade out the rest of the plant from getting any kind of growth on the inner part of the plant. You want a really full, lush looking plant. So just gently, you know, carefully just knock off that newer growth when you do your pruning.
All right. Julie, hang on. We're going to take a look at that above average temp forecast. And we have about another half hour of the show to go on our Smart Garden Show. Call us or text us. Here's the number for either 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830 WCCO. Stay with us. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour on 830 WCCO. Denny Long back with Julie Weisenhorn from the U of M on this warm Saturday morning. Hey, it's December 7th, right, Julie? Wow.
Right.
35. I want to grab some more text, but you wanted to kind of back up a little bit, and you had a little addition to that pruning, that arborvitae question.
Yes. So one of the key things to remember about evergreens when you're pruning them, and this doesn't pertain necessarily to this time of year. Most people are not pruning. We're waiting until maybe the growing season to do that for some of our evergreens. But one of the important things with arborvitae in particular is not to prune them like, I'll say, an ace of spades with a tight bottom. You want to prune them more like a bullet shaped. And the reason for that is those branches, all of that foliage really needs to be in sun. It needs sunlight to produce. So when you tighten it, when you bring that, you know, when you prune it in at the base, all of those branches that are covered by the other branches underneath that are on the bottom, they don't get any light. And so they don't produce any foliage, and you get that bare twiggy bottom that you see a lot on arborvitae in particular. So prune these trees like a bullet shape. So make sure that your lower branches, and this is true of all evergreens, but make sure your lower branches are further out from the upper branches. Think of that pyramidal shape, but that they're getting enough light. Don't bring them in tight at the bottom.
All right. Julie Texter says, can we trim oaks now?
Yes, you can trim oaks now. So our lowest risk, this is a low risk time. Actually, it's the best time to prune your oaks is from November until probably around March. And sure. and that is because we do not want to have issues with oak wilt. And the high risk time for oak wilt transmission is early April through mid-July. But right now, this is winter, is the best time to prune your oaks. Yes.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
This listener says, I've been growing jade plants for years, never seen one have blooms. I now have tiny white flowers on a jade plant. How rare is this, and what conditions contributed to flowering?
Well, I think it's age of the plant, and it may also be just the plant is maybe in the right conditions too. I'm guessing it's age, because it takes a while for those jade plants to actually bloom. I have only seen one bloom, and it wasn't my plant. It was one that was in our greenhouse. It was a pretty big plant.
Something I've been thinking about, especially for this weekend, Texter says, I'm hoping to dormant seed in the next few days. Is it too late? It's certainly not too late.
No. John says you can dormant seed up till March. So go, yes, dormant seed away. That would be great.
I have a question, though, about that. I was thinking because, you know, the snow will be gone, what little we have,
sure.
Certainly with 48 degrees and 41 tomorrow. How do you get, with the ground so hard, at least my yard, how do you get what you've taught me, seed-to-soil contact?
Seed-to-soil.
Yeah.
Seed-to-soil. It will actually happen in the spring as the soil warms up and then we get our moisture that we get in the spring. That those seeds kind of work their way in to the soil, and then they'll get their seed to soil contact.
I started.
So it happens in the spring. Don't worry about it.
All right, good.
Now.
All right, let's grab a phone call. Julie, Steve is on the horn, calling in from Savage this morning. Thank you, Steve. What's your question for Julie?
Yes. Good morning. Great program. Question is: I recently got a jade plant from a friend of mine. And the darn thing has got a whole bunch of big holes in it. And I sprayed the plant with neem, but it doesn't seem to be doing any good. What do you suggest?
Well, holes in leaves can be due to several things. One, it could be insects. The other, it could be some kind of a rot that is rotting the leaves and causing these dead tissue areas to form on the leaves. And then they kind of drop out and you get these holes. You may want to check your watering of jade. So jade plants are succulents. Succulents, even though we tend to think, oh, they're like big sponges, you know, they need a lot of water. They actually don't. And the way that you can test for watering needs of a jade plant is just to feel the leaves. And if they're soft and flexible, they would need watering. Now, that being said, if you've overwatered your jade, you will also get these flexible, soft leaves. And you'll think, oh, my gosh, my jade needs more water. But to be honest, you may have caused some rot if you've overwatered that jade. And I'm guessing that might be what's happening with your plant. So what I would recommend is to repot that plant. Hopefully it's not a mega monstrous plant. It's a more manageable one. But I would repot it. I would check the roots. If the roots look creamy white and they're healthy and they're firm, then go ahead and repot it. If they are slimy and brown and black and rotten or non-existing, your plant may be dead and you may need to get a new plant. So, but the important thing is not to overwater those plants. They really do like to be quite dry. And again, feeling the firmness of the leaves on the jade plant is a great way to determine whether it needs water or not. And make sure your pot drains well. That's the other thing too, is make sure there's a nice hole in the bottom of that pot and the water's draining through it. Don't let it sit in water.
Very good. Appreciate the call. Let's see. Pick up on more text messages. This listener says, I have a Meyer lemon tree plant. Is there any particular kind of soil it should be planted in? I'm using Miracle-Gro soil.
Yeah, that should be fine for that plant. What you want to do is look for a citrus fertilizer. That's the best thing to use for the Meyer lemon trees. And good luck with that. I'm working on my second one. I did actually get a lemon from it, Denny. We ate it last night on salmon.
I haven't tried it.
Small but effective.
Well, good for you.
Yeah, so I'm happy about that. But do watch those plants. They are susceptible to things like mealybugs and scale. Scale looks like little bumps on the stems, and you can take a look at it. There's good pictures about it in our Managing Insect Pests on Houseplants on our website at extension.umn.edu, Yard and Garden, and go to the houseplant section.
Will do. This listener has a question about my lawn, he or she says. We raked all the leaves off our yard this fall, but a couple of nearby oak trees recently dropped their leaves. So I have lots of oak leaves on my lawn again. I'm wondering if those oak leaves will hurt my lawn. Should I spend some time this weekend getting those picked up or just enjoy the nice weather?
Yeah, you might want to, if you have a leaf blower, you could blow those leaves into your garden beds. If you have a rake, you could just rake them into piles, rake them into your garden beds, use them as a mulch. I think if you ask John, he would say if 50% of your lawn is covered by leaves, you should probably get those off of the grass. And just putting them into your garden bed is an easy way to do that.
There's a little bit of a correction. You can help me with this one. It says, good morning. I have a correction for location mentioned for the Minnesota Herb Society sale today. It's in the Oswald Building rather than the Snyder Building.
Great.
Thank you. Arb Auxiliary sale is in the Snyder Building today.
Oh, that's it. Oh, thank you for clarifying that. I was at the Arboretum yesterday, and I saw them setting up, so I assumed that that was the herb sale. So I'm glad. There's two sales at the Arboretum, plus a gift shop. So time to go Christmas shopping.
And I was thinking, too, you and I have talked about it, but people who visit the Arboretum can have lunch, too.
Yeah, at the rootstock. So our chef, Beth Fisher, and her team have reinvented our restaurant. It's called Rootstock, which for those of you who have heard us before talking about rootstock and apple trees, that's where the plant starts, right, in the root area. So, but the food is fantastic. I always, whenever I go there, and I go there pretty often because I work there, but I'm always finding something new to eat and something really delicious. I had a carrot ginger soup the other day that was unbelievable. And they have dishes for vegans. They have dishes for people who are gluten-free or have a dairy intolerance, all sorts of different kinds of food, great snacks, and really wonderful pastries. So, yeah, visit the Rootstock. It's a great place to sit and have lunch and then see all the cool stuff at the Arb.
You're making people who get up at 4:30 in the morning hungry at this time
I'm
with
really
that. Yeah,
right,
that's I gotta check that. Gotta check that out myself for sure.
You need to come have lunch with me.
I think we should plan on that.
We need to do that. We need to get the team for lunch together. I've been talking about that for like 2 months.
My dance card is not quite filled yet, so
we can
do that.
We'll
this listener says, we discovered many little black dots on an area of our siding and windows. Mm. It looks like a fungus there. Somebody said it's an artillery fungus.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with this?
I have seen this before. Yes, it is called artillery fungus. I am not 100% sure how to get rid of it. I think washing it in the spring, I don't think you do it now, but washing your siding, maybe power washing it, would blow it off of there. I don't think that there's anything to treat it with, but this would be something to check into with like a home improvement, maybe the home improvement show, the next one that's on. Maybe Andy would know what to do about it.
As Matt, well, Andy has said, by the way, next hour, for those that have any questions, we're going to be doing a repeat show from last week's show. This, according to Andy. This is a kind of a last-minute change.
Yeah.
So we apologize for that. So don't call or don't text. But Andy has said in the past, as far as gently, like you suggested, a pressure washer, you don't want too much power.
Right.
But he uses Dawn dish soap.
Okay.
And that might be acceptable in that particular case. You might give it a try in the spring, like Julie suggested,
yeah.
of course.
Otherwise, you'll have ice on your side.
Yeah. Can you look at – well, I'll tell you what, let's do. We've got more text messages, but I'm getting a signal. The time for a quick break. Let's do that. I can tell you that temperature-wise, we have 35 degrees in the Twin Cities. We're going to near 48. Some thermometers, I think, will probably hit 50 today. But right now, 35 degrees, 41 the high. Tomorrow. Stay with us. We're going to have more Lawn and Garden questions with Julie when we come back on 830 WCCO. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here, along with Julie Weisenhorn from the University of Minnesota, taking your Lawn and Garden questions either by phone or by text, as usual. 651-461-9226. Getting some interest in the dining. The Arboretum rootstock, the location again. Somebody said sent a text and they said, "Has the restaurant been renamed and the location?" You're saying same location.
Yeah, same location. We call it a refresh, so it has been renamed, and the menu is refreshed. It's a lot more diverse. There's also one of the cool things. It's not a, I guess it's kind of a big deal, but they have digital menus outside the restaurant. So before you even go in, you can review what's on tap for that day, for what's on the menu. And then when you come in, you can also see them there too. But they have hot food and then also sandwiches and salads and then also pastries. But yeah, and some of the nights that winter lights are happening, the restaurant is also open. So you can also get a little snack or something. Go see the winter lights, you know, come back and warm up. So those are selected nights. But yeah, the rootstock is great. Beth and her team have just done amazing work.
Texter
labor love.
Just sent a, as far as the fabulous food there, definitely try the cappuccino muffins. They are fabulous.
Yeah, those are really good.
But
those
keep
are
in mind,
quiche. I like the roasted vegetable quiche. That's one of my favorite ones.
But, of course, you don't drink cappuccino after 11 a.m. You don't do that.
What about muffins, though?
Muffins, oh, yes.
I think you're safe have, there.
Have at it. All right. Can you prune apples now? If not, when is the best? If not now, when?
Yeah, I would usually wait and prune maybe around February. But you could probably start thinking about the pruning. And, you know, as long as the plant is dormant, and that's the key, and that happens usually in Minnesota around January, February, they're going into dormancy right now. It's been kind of a roller coaster, I think, for plants. But you can go ahead and you can definitely prune like in February.
Okay. We still have time for yours, 651-461-9226, any kind of a lawn or garden question you may have. There's another one, another text, Julie. How do I winterize a Japanese maple?
Oh, Japanese maples. Well, they are kind of tender plants. They, winterizing them, let's see, I would protect the stem with a tree guard. That would be one thing. So these are, it's either a white plastic wrap that goes around the trunk, or you can purchase corrugated chunks of it looks almost like drain tile. But it doesn't have holes in it, and it's slit down one side, and you can wrap that around the trunk. And the reason you do that is to prevent any kind of frost cracks. Those occur when the winter sun heats up the trunk tissue and starts the cellular activity going, and then the temperatures drop rapidly, and they can crack that wood. So you want to protect that. They have thin bark. It's one of their features. As far as you can't really wrap a Japanese maple. I mean, it would be really difficult to do, and I'm not sure it would really help too much. I think one thing you could do, though, is if it's very twiggy, if it has a lot of branches, you may want to just kind of bring those branches together with some twine just to kind of keep to prevent snow from collecting in the inner center and maybe cracking some of those branches. You could do that. Other than that, I guess you could also, if you really, really were worried about it and concerned, maybe putting a burlap fencing around it to protect it from animals, but also some hard fencing, some metal fencing too, because those would be delicious for deer or rabbits to also feed on. So look at our protecting plants in the winter webpage. under our trees and shrubs section, and that will give you ideas for how to protect your trees.
Okay, good idea. This listener, Julie, says, I have a spirea bush that took a real beating this summer. Can I cut that way back?
Yes, you can cut spirea to the ground, and they will then come back. Depending on the type of spirea, when it blooms, if it's a plant that blooms on new wood, in other words, the new growth in the spring, you can cut that back now without an issue, or you can cut it back in late winter. If it's a plant that blooms on last year's growth, in other words, a summer blooming spirea, you would be losing some of your flowering opportunities. So it kind of depends, but if it really took a beating, it would probably be a good idea to give it a good prune at this point.
Okay. This is not a lawn or garden question, but it says, Julie, you need to get the band together. Where can we see you soon? But you told me off air you guys are having a little hiatus now.
Yeah, we're going to do some recording this winter here at our Bluebird Studio. And we've got a couple of our members who are kind of on sabbatical for the winter. They go to warmer climes. So, but we're already booking for summer. So we've got, we're going to be at Buckhorn Days in Long Lake. Coming up, we're also going to play for the Master Naturalist 20th Anniversary Gala. That's on next December.
That already?
A year from now. Already we're booking. So, yeah, but we will keep our website updated, and so you can check at theabiders.net.
Excellent. Looking at another text, we have a couple minutes to go. Good morning. Are potted ferns easy to care for and have in an office environment?
Yeah, so ferns are relatively easy to care for. You want to be sure that the soil stays moist but not wet, as we discussed earlier, and you don't want it to dry out. They do need a pretty bright window, and they should be on some kind of a plant stand so that the fronds kind of hang freely versus putting them on a table where they sit on the table. You want that nice fern look. So invest in a nice plant stand if you don't have one. And then also be sure that you're just keeping that soil moist, not too wet.
I haven't failed. I usually like to ask or give kind of directions for the Arboretum, but a text just came in. It says, where is the Arboretum located?
Oh, okay. So it's on the west. It's out on Highway 5 West. It's technically in Chaska, Minnesota. And you just go past the intersection of 5 and 41, and it's your next left. Essentially, you'll see the huge sign out there. It starts, that's the northeast corner of the Arboretum, is at 41 and 5.
And, you know, we happen to be members, but I mean, for those that maybe have never been, what's the procedure as far as getting in that gate?
Well, the first thing you want to do is go to arb.umn.edu. And you'll be able to get tickets. There's a link right on the homepage, along with lots of things happening at the Arboretum. And go ahead and click on reserve your tickets, and then go ahead and purchase the tickets there. And to be honest, you may as well become a member, because you'll want to go back again. And go ahead and get tickets, and you can choose the time that you're planning to come. So if you're going to go to Winter Lights, you would reserve tickets for that time. If you're just going to go for the day, sometime during the day, there's lots of different opportunities there. It's a great time to hike. If you're a hiker or a walker, it's a terrific time to walk around the Arboretum. It looks beautiful in all seasons. So, yeah, just visit arb.umn.edu. Be sure to get tickets.
I even, during the summertime, got some fun shots. Just with my phone, you know, there's some beautiful scenes there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact.
There's a lot of turkeys around.
No.
Massive.
No, don't get personal.
Wild turkeys.
Okay.
No, right. No, the ones with two legs.
Oh, okay.
No, that would, well, wait just, a minute. Now, hang on.
Just want to clear some clarification there. Julie, before we run out of time, another text says this. I'm wondering how to keep my zinnias healthy in my garden in the summer. The bottom leaves and stems turn brown. I would like to keep the plants healthy.
Yeah, I am going to refer you to our flower section on our website. There is a great, under annuals, there's a great webpage about zinnias that was written by our staff up at our West Central Research and Outreach Center at the Display Garden. So take a look at that, and that gives you good growing guidelines. So that's at extension.umn.edu. go to Yard and Garden or just type zinnia in the search box and you'll get to the webpage on zinnias. And that should give you all the information you need for next summer.
Julie, I'm going to try to get this phone call real fast because we have less than 2 minutes to go.
Oh,
Tom is calling in from Minnetonka. What's your quick question, Tom?
I've got some broadleaf rhododendrons, and between rabbit damage and wind damage and blah, 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 they're pretty spindly looking, but they've got 3 years in the ground on them. They are tall, so I don't want to lose them. Can I just take some new, smaller, big rhododendrons, just like put them in next to them? I know they're pretty minor root systems.
What do you think, Julie?
Yeah, I think I would, first of all, fence your rhododendrons from animal damage, but I wouldn't plant any plants next to them. I would work on making those plants healthier next spring.
Just like that. Thanks. I'm glad we got that call in. Julie, for those folks who have never tried it, check out the university website, extension.umn.edu.
Yes.
Just a wonderful resource.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, get to the Arboretum. I'm glad you shed some more light on all the events going on there. And I hope you have a great week in a couple of weeks.
Me too.
We'll probably talk to you in a couple of weeks, I presume.
Yep, I'm sure you will.
All right. Thanks so much, Julie Weisenhorn.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie, from the UV.
Nothing is off limits as host Sophia Franklin dishes on her personal life, like toxic relationships, dating and hookups, and dealing with insecurities, all with humor and real talk. Find Sophia with an F on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.